We turn now to another political crisis, this one in Zimbabwe. President Robert Mugabe and opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai will continue power-sharing talks despite failure to reach an agreement over the weekend. The two have been at odds since a disputed election in March. Mugabe won a runoff vote in June after Tsvangirai pulled out of the race, charging that his supporters were the targets of state-sponsored violence. South African President Thabo Mbeki is trying to broker the deal, and here to talk more about this is Joel Barkin, the Senior Associate of the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. Thanks for being with us.
Good to be with you, Lynn.
So there had been some hope that there would be a power-sharing deal would be reached this past weekend at the summit of the South African Development Community. That didn't happen. Why not?
Well, first of all, the summit was not the part of the direct negotiations. It was the background to
right.
it. And the incoming head of the Southern African Development Community is Thabo Mbeki, who had been tasked by SADC 2 years ago to be the mediator in this dispute. The negotiations got underway a few weeks ago. You had the failed election of June 27th, then an interlude. Then the parties finally got together about 3 weeks ago, and Mbeki flying up to Harare. They've been continuing ever since. And the basic crux of the matter is that this is not a negotiation simply to bring in Tsvangirai and a number of his colleagues into the cabinet, but whether there will be a real power-sharing deal. If there's no power-sharing deal, as Tsvangirai said over the weekend, no deal is better than a bad deal, and that's where things stand now.
Right. In an interview with the New York Times this weekend, Tsvangirai made it very clear that he's not going to agree to anything that doesn't give him real power. But what would make anyone think that Robert Mugabe would concede power to him? He's never shown any indication of that so far.
This is a very tough nut to crack for the reasons you just said. Mugabe is adamant, although there's some background to this. It is not only Mugabe. It's the security forces and the police. There have been some scattered reports that senior colleagues in ZANU-PF have been urging Robert Mugabe for over a year to consider stepping down. That he was, and also there were reports that he was willing to concede the election, the first round of the election that occurred back on the 28th of March, but that the security forces said no. So he may well not to be have a totally free hand in this and try to hang on, but eventually he's going to be unable to do so because the economy, as everyone knows, is collapsing. And he holds the security forces and others together through patronage, and he's simply running out of patronage. So it's not really a matter of whether, it's when.
What role can the regional leaders, the Southern African regional leaders, play in this? They're beginning to exert some pressure on Mugabe. He was not really well received at this summit. The president of Botswana didn't even show up. Can they really affect this power-sharing mediation that's going on right now?
Well, they could certainly hasten the arrival at a power-sharing deal. Unfortunately, as long as Thabo Mbeki continues in his role as the chief mediator, now that he's come in as chair of SADC, I'm afraid you're going to see more of the same. Mbeki is really not perceived as an honest broker here, at least from the standpoint of the MDC and Morgan Tsvangirai. He's had a clear tilt toward Mugabe from the start. That's complicated things. And also in terms of the big powers, the United States, for example, the West is perceived, on the other hand, by Mugabe as having a clear tilt towards Tsvangirai. So this complicates finding a middle ground. As for SADC itself, in direct answer to your question, there is a clear breaking of the ranks. There, Ian Khama, the president of Botswana, Levi Mwanamwasa, the president of Zambia, who unfortunately recently suffered a stroke and wasn't at these meetings over the weekend, they have been putting increasing pressure on Mbeki to in turn be more even-handed in this. But part of the problem here is Thabo Mbeki. And a final comment here is Mbeki, of course, is lame duck president of South Africa. And there are rising voices in South Africa, in the trade union movement, with Jacob Zuma, the incoming president of South Africa, to bring this to a speedy close. It's affecting South Africa as well.
I was going to say political – we don't have much time left, but political stability in that entire – in Zimbabwe is important to that entire region.
It is indeed, and it's affecting the South African economy. South Africa has about 40%, 25 to 40% unemployment rate. There are a large number of refugees, over a million, the count isn't exactly sure, of Zimbabweans in South Africa. And there were riots in South Africa earlier this year against Zimbabweans and others, non-South Africans who are perceived as taking South African jobs. So there's an interconnectedness here in the region. You're quite right.
Joel Barkin, Senior Associate of the Africa Program at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in Washington, D.C. He joined us here in the studio. Just ahead, a look at the state of social services after a Philadelphia teen with cerebral palsy starved to death under her mother's care. That's next on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary.